believe you've enjoyed this message from the Fountain of the Spirit. You can get more of our messages and make more inquiries about the ministry by calling the numbers 080-372-60299 or 080-395-48289. You can also be a part of one of our many Spirit-filled meetings. School of Diocesis every Tuesday 6 p.m. Governmental prayers every Thursday 6 p.m. Sunday meetings 9 a.m. Grace be with you.
Last year, when we were preparing for the convention last year, and I just jokingly said something, I think to somebody, that I feel that since we are talking about glory, that is why I like glory. Of course, I like glory. So that seeing from the Old Testament, what happened to them? Are you getting me? What happened? For example, when Solomon was dedicating the temple, at one point, the Bible says there was clouds that came, and the whole place was filled with smoke. Are you getting me? And the glory of the Lord came down, and the session stopped at that point. And I told the person, yeah, I would like to see that kind of experience too. Hallelujah. I just jokingly said it. And from there, I just returned to see it. Since it's the Bible, that kind of experience is in the Bible. There's a reason why it is put there. I have to begin now to probe further that experience of the glory of the Lord coming down, that people were able to see it. And so what does that mean in the Old Testament? What does that mean to them and to us again in the New Testament? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Okay. So, number one, we need to know that that God created things. That everything, for example, okay, let me be specific here. That man, the man that God created, Adam, God gave him glory and honor. Hallelujah. There was a glory that was given to what? To Adam. And of course, there was honor that was attached to it. It was crowned with glory and honor. God did not just create him and just know. There was a glory that was attached to him as a man. And let's check Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. So God was saying there that let us create man in our image. 26. Make man in our image after our likeness and let him have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air, over the cattle and all the earth and over all, every creeping thing that creepeth upon. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female. Hallelujah. And because we know that God is a God of glory, so he will not do anything short of that. Are you getting me? If he's creating somebody after his own image, are you getting me? It will be like him too. Are you getting me? So there's a glory of God, there's a dimension of glory of God that was given to what? They were to Adam. Are you getting me? And that thing finds its expression in that dominion money that he was given. That let him have dominion. It was that glory that was upon him that he was able to exercise that dominion. Hallelujah. And we also see that also in Jesus, the second Adam and the last Adam. We also see that in Jesus. Let's see Hebrews 2. Hebrews 2, 5. Hebrews 2, 5. For unto the angels had he not put in subjection of the world to come, whereof we speak, but one in a certain place satisfied, saying, what is man that thou art mindful of him, the son of man that thou hast blessed him? Thou madest him a little lower than the angels, thou crowned crowned him with glory and honor, and did set him over the works of thy hand. And thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. For in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we see not yet all things under him. Now, verse 9 was another, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. Hallelujah. So we also see Jesus, the second Adam, I get him. Also, he was also fashioned, second and the last, he was also fashioned in the likeness of Adam too. Are you getting me? He was also crowned what? With glory. And with what? With honor. Praise the Lord. So that he will be able to what? Do what he came to do. In another time, when he was praying in John 17, he told God, he asked to pray to God, God, I know now I've glorified you by doing all the things you have commanded me to do. I've done that. Now, can you now please glorify your son? Are you getting me? He now had to specify the kind of glory he was looking for. Are you getting me? That the glory that we had together before what foundation. So you know that Jesus did not come with that kind of glory. The glory that he had before what? The foundation of the world. Hallelujah. So he came with in the form and the likeness of Adam. Are you getting me? To be able to do what he's supposed to do. Praise the Lord. Yeah, so I'm laying foundation. And so when Adam sinned, that glory was the one was affected. Are you getting me? The sin, the disobedience of Adam affected the glory that was given to him. Praise the Lord. He fell, now of course, he fell from that. He could, that dominion mandate was taken away from him. Are you getting me? That is indication of that, of the glory being taken away. By reason of disobedience, by reason of sin, they fell short of that. You know, Romans 3 was saying it, that all men have sinned and come short of the glory. So he fell from that responsibility, and he gave it to another person. That we know that that's Satan, and he could not proceed, he could not exercise the responsibility that was given to him. Hallelujah. Because of what? Because of sin. Because of disobedience. And that was what Jesus came to rectify. Hallelujah. Jesus came to rectify that anomaly. First of all, what to deal with the issue of sin. Are you getting for man? And also to restore the glory that Adam lost. And much more than that. Are you getting me? Because we discover that Adam at that point have not eaten the tree of life. Are you getting me? The glory that was upon him was just the glory that he had as he was created as man. Are you getting me? But I know if he has taken that tree of life, it's going to be another defense for that. Are you getting me? Because the present Jesus, the present Christ that we have now, the glory that he has is not the same glory that he exercised, that he had when he was on earth. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So we have a much better glory to look forward to. In what? In Jesus. Hallelujah. Okay. So, but we, like I said, we have to check some of the experiences of the glory that came down in the Old Testament. I want to see, let us see some of those experiences, what happened, why did we see glory? Hallelujah. Amen. Now let me say this, everybody is looking for glory. People, that is the issue. Everybody is looking for it because God, that was the way God created us. So everybody, all of us have that sense that we have lost something, that something is missing. So, however, I will now look for it too. Hallelujah. Exodus chapter 16. Exodus chapter 16, verse 2. And the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. Okay, verse 7. And in the morning, then ye shall see the glory of the Lord, for he adhereth to your mumbles against the Lord. But what are we that ye murmur against us? Moses said, this shall be when the Lord shall give you in the evening flesh to eat, and in the morning bread to the full. For that the Lord heareth your mumbles which ye murmur against him. And what are we? Your mumblings are not against us, but against the Lord. Verse 9, Moses speak unto Aaron, say unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, come near before the Lord, for he hath heard your mumblings. Verse 10, and it came to pass, as Aaron speak unto the whole congregation of the children of Israel, that they looked toward the wilderness, and behold, the glory of the Lord appeared what? In the cloud. Verse 11, and the Lord speak unto Moses, saying, hallelujah. So the first sight of the glory of God that we saw in the Old Testament came as a result of the murmurings of what? Of the children of Israel. And what was the murmuring all about? Because of food. Are you getting me? What they want to eat. And I complained to Moses that, have you brought us here to die? That we're not seeing food. And he had to go back to God, and God told him, no problem. This food that I'm talking about, I will give them. Are you getting me? And in response to that, the first thing we saw that was the glory of the Lord came down. Are you getting me? And from there, God began to speak to them. Are you getting me? And he supplied their food. And after that, we saw them complaining about water again. He also gave instructions to Moses, give them water. Hallelujah. Now we can see that scenario explains one of the reasons why the definitions we see about glory. Are you getting me? In response to their mummies for food, God came down in glory. Abi, but by the time you see that, you know, by the time you want to see God's glory, it has to do with something like food. Are you getting me? No, Abi. In response to what they did, God came down in glory. And to do what? To give them food. So you can see that all of us, we can see around us that when people pray for glory, that is what is in their mind. Are you getting me? That's the image that comes to mind. Oluwa ogo mi. Eko gomi ton. Eko gomi ibeti ota dogo mi si. Are you getting me? Now, the definition of that is riches, wealth, fame, fortune, and all those things. Are you getting me? Aha. Of course, it's not far-fetched. It's here too. Are you getting me? When the children of Israel asked God, God came down for food. God came down what? In glory. To give them what? To give them food. Are you getting me? But, you know... That is God anyway. Are you getting me? He can decide to do whatever I want to do like that, and he decided to come in glory and give them food. But you should not be tempted to think that the glory of God is about giving you things. Are you getting me? So don't reduce it to mundane things. Are you getting me? He can decide to do that. But it is not. Don't attach the glory of God to that. Are you getting me? To material things, to things that are temporal. Do you get me? So these are temporal. You should not attach the glory of God to things that are temporal, to things that are mundane, things that will perish here. Are you getting me? The glory of God is far, far more than that. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So we see the experience of the children of Israel as they see. Because me too, if I was there with them, I would have think like that. At any time you want to see God, you want your needs to be met, you will just see what's glory. But that is not it. Are you getting me? As another experience of God coming down in glory was seen in Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20, let's go there. I see. Exodus chapter 20, let's see verse 18. And all the people saw the thunderings and lightnings and the noise of the trumpet and the mountains smoking. When the people saw it, they removed and stood afar off. And they said unto Moses, speak thou with us, and we will hear, and we will hear. But let not God speak with us, lest we die. And Moses said unto the people, fear not, for God is come to prove you, and that his fear may be before your faces, that ye see not. And the people stood afar off, and Moses drew near into the thick darkness where God was. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. This is a scenario of where God came down to give them the commandment, was speaking to them. No, he gave instructions. Welcome, sir. Yes, sir. So, he gave instructions to them. He has given instructions to Moses that they should sanctify themselves for his coming. And he gave instructions of how they will approach the mountain. Because he came down upon Mount Sinai, he gave instructions of how they will approach the mountain, lest it was, he killed them. Are you getting me? And by the time God spoke to Moses, and after the speakings, Bible said there were thunders and everything, they saw smoke, they were afraid, they drew back. Praise the Lord. They drew back and told Moses, well, look, this kind of thing, I think we don't want it. Go and meet your God, and we will stay here. And what? You hear God for us. Praise the Lord. You hear God for us, and we will stay here, and we wait for you. Peradventure, if the thunder doesn't kill you, well, thank God. But you go and hear God for us. And we'll be here to listen to whatever God has said through you. Praise the Lord. And Moses, Bible says Moses went, are you getting me? Moses went into the, approached God, went further, and he had God for the people of Israel. And I think that is the beginning of the failure of that generation. That was the beginning. When they drew back, because that was the speaking of the Lord was like Moses said, was to test their heart, to prove their heart, and for them to be able to believe. Are you getting me? If God has spoken to them directly, if they heard him, are you getting me? They would, that there's an effect that will have done to their heart. That will have got something tangible in their heart. But they failed from that point. Praise the Lord. And we'll begin to see how they began to fail more. Because of, there were more experiences that Moses had that the children of Israel should have partook. Am I correct? Is it partook? Yes, partook. Praise the Lord. It was only Moses that had that kind of experience. Something that was meant for everybody. Only Moses took it. Praise the Lord. Okay. Let's see Exodus 24. Exodus 24, 12. And the Lord said unto Moses, come unto me into the mount and be there, and I will give thee tables of stone and a law and commandment which I have written, and thou mayest teach them. Okay? The verse 16. And the glory of the Lord abode upon Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it 6 days. And the seventh day he called unto Moses out of the midst of the cloud, and the sight of the glory of the Lord was like devouring fire on top of the mount in the eyes of the children of Israel. And Moses went into the midst of the cloud and got him up into the mount, and Moses was in the mount 40 days and 40 nights. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Like I said, an experience that was meant for all of them, because one of the things that God told Moses is, these people, they are going to be a kingdom of priests. Are you getting me? A kingdom of priests. All of them are supposed to be priests. Are you getting me? All the children, is that the design of them having this tribe thing, are you getting me? It was because of their inability to pay the sacrifice, are you getting me? To become a priest. So God had to decide, okay, let me out of you, go, let me now pick a tribe. Are you getting me? That will fulfill this mandate. It is all of them. All of them were supposed to be priests. all of them should be able to approach God. That was the design. That was what God told Moses initially. But we discovered that they couldn't. They prefer that, okay, there should be an intermediary. That was how the system came, having somebody in between go before the Lord on their behalf, make sacrifice and all those things. But they couldn't. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So we see here, so God gave Moses instruction. The reason why he was going to going to approach God in glory and that Mount Sinai was because of what? It was going to be there to give him what? Tables of stone, a law and commandment, which he what God have written. Hallelujah. That was, but when I saw it, so God have written this thing somewhere. So it was just to give him. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. That was catch me on my ways. That God have written that, those things, those commandments, those laws, he has written it. It was just for Moses to come. And then if he has written it, why did he have to stay there 40 days and 40 nights? Praise the Lord. Is the journey from that mountain to heaven? Is that, I don't know. Is it that long that he has to stay there for 40 days and 40 nights? And because, praise the Lord, we did not hear that Moses have to translocate and all that. He remained there 40 days and 40 nights for commandment, laws that God has written. This will have been the same experience that the children of Israel will have passed through too. Maybe they have seen it that, Taba continue believe. There are some enjoyment we will not be able to enjoy. This Moses that is always going to mountaintop, meeting the Lord. Are you getting me? Because that will make you live a life that, are you getting me? There are pleasures, there's some kind of lifestyle that you want to live. You will not be able. Are you getting me? Because God will always be demanding for your presence that you should come. Come. Are you getting me? As he was telling Moses, just come. He stayed there 40 days and 40 nights. And imagine without food and water. And don't forget that it was because of food and water that the momo, they can't do without that stomach thing. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Because that one, it will demand it. They have to, if they want this kind of experience, they have to be without food and water. Praise the Lord. And of course, after Moses got the law, the tables of stone, the law, and the commandments. And we saw at the later end in chapter 33 that as he was coming down, God told him, before he was coming down, go see your people. They're already misbehaving. By the time he got down from the mountain, and he saw what they were doing, worshiping idol and all those things, the Bible said he threw that tablet away. He threw it down. And that thing broke. Are you getting me? In Kotolon for work of Orai. Are you getting me? God wrote that in himself. Just decided to throw it away because you're angry. Because praise the Lord. Praise the living Jesus. And but God did not, God just stepped higher and did not talk. And later he told him, okay, come. This thing, you still need it. Are you getting me? This tablet that contain the law and commandment, you still need that. Contain instructions, you still need it. These people need it. And you will see the reason why they still need it. Why God still have to tell Moses that to do another tablet. Are you getting me? And come back again to that mountain. And the same way, are you getting me? Just that is there's a little difference. Are you getting me? Let's check it. 34. We are seeing in Exodus, like I said, we are seeing straying the experience of the glory of God that we saw in the Old Testament here. Yeah? Okay, 34:9. Okay, let's see one. And the Lord said unto Moses, hew two tablets of stone like unto the first. And I will write upon these tables the words that were in the first table which thou breakest. So, they like the first one that he did. Now, the first one, it, God has already written. Are you getting me? He did not have to heal anything. God has already written the tablet and everything. It was given to him by God. But this one now, he needs to do it by himself, get the stones, tie it up there, and I don't know. God said, now look at the, he said, and I will write these tables, the words that were in the first table. Praise the Lord. But at the end of the day, I think it was the guy that wrote that thing. Let's check 9. And he said, if now I have found grace in the sight of the Lord, let my Lord, I pray thee, go among us. Go among us, for it is a stiff-necked people, and pardon their iniquity. I think I've jumped something here. Okay, let's check. Okay, let's see verse 2 of that chapter 4. I'm already in the morning, and come up in the morning unto Mount Sinai, and present thyself there to me in the top of the mount, and no man shall come up with thee, neither let any man be seen throughout all the mount, neither let the flocks nor herd feed before that mount. And he hewed two tables of stone like unto the first. And Moses rose up early in the morning and went up unto Mount Sinai, as the Lord had commanded him, and took in his hand the two tables of stone. And the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. And the Lord passed before him and proclaimed the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth. 7, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and that we by no means clear the guilty, visiting iniquities of the fathers upon the children, upon the children's children, upon the third and to the fourth generation. And Moses made haste and bowed his head toward the earth and worshipped. Hallelujah. Now this experience happened as a result of Moses' engagement in chapter 33. Now when the Lord came down, and Bible says he was talking to God face to face, and he began to talk that if I found grace, that's 33:13. Now therefore I pray thee, if I found grace in thy sight, show me thy way, that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight, and consider that this nation is thy people. And God said, and he said, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give the rest. And he now said, and he, Moses, and he said unto him, if thy presence go not with me, carry us not off us. Okay. Verse 15. Okay, let's jump that. Okay, verse 18. Now, he now said, and he beseeched thee, and he said, I beseech thee, show me the glory. And he said, I will make my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and show mercy on whom I will show mercy. And he said, thou cannot see my face, for there shall no man see me and leave. And the Lord said, behold, there's a rock by me, there's a place by me, thou shalt stand upon a rock, and it shall come to pass while my glory passeth by, that I will put thee in a cleft of the rock, and will cover thee with my hand while I pass, and I will take away my hand, and thou shalt see my back part, but my face shall not be seen. Hallelujah. So we now see that 34, we now see the experience of what he asked God in 33. And he said he wants to see God. He wants to see the presence of God. Then he wants to see the glory of God. And Of course, God promised him that he was going to see a kind of dimension of him, that his goodness was going to pass before him, and he was going to see him. He was going to proclaim the name of God. And we saw in 34 that the name of the Lord was proclaimed. He saw it. Praise the Lord. He saw the name of the Lord proclaimed. He saw God as he is. He saw God as a merciful God. Are you getting me? He saw God as God that is what? Merciful, gracious, long-suffering, abundance in goodness and truth. And this was the same God that the children of Israel was seeing as somebody that they can't touch, that they can't approach. Are you getting me? This was the same God that they could not approach. They did not want to see. They did not want to say, Moses, go and hear him. Because they were afraid that probably he may kill them. Hallelujah. But Moses here asked God, and God responded, and began to see that this God is not the way we have been seeing him. He's full of mercy. He's full of grace. He's gracious. In fact, long suffering. Are you getting me? It's nothing to be matched. Praise the Lord. That's one of the things that you see in God. You can be seeing thunder, you can be seeing fire. That's what you want. That's what you desire to see. Are you getting me? And lo and behold, that is not God. Praise the Lord. So you can stay there and be seeing that God is like that, is terrible, is consuming, and all those things. Are you getting me? But the core nature of God is what is being displayed there. Are you getting me? That is in his name. The core nature of God was what Moses saw here. And he began to say, immediately he saw that, Bible says in verse 8, he made haste and bowed his head toward the earth and what? And worshipped. Praise the Lord. And did what? And worshipped. Because he saw God in a different light. In a different way. And he began to confess sins of the kingdom of Israel and all those things. Because he saw that, this God is merciful. Let me ask for forgiveness on behalf of these people. Are you getting me? He began to worship God. Are you getting me? That's one of the things about the experience of glory of God. Moses saw that. This was the experience that all of them, like I said, all of them should have seen. And they should have known. But it was given only to what? Only to Moses. Moses was the only one that saw God as he is. Are you getting me? And even, of course, that was even a partial part of God, though. Are you getting me? That was not even the fullness. That was a partial God, because he said, just my goodness, a little of me, you will just see passing. And again, and of course, that was not even anything near to his face. Praise the Lord. And Moses was able to see that and acknowledge that. Hallelujah. Okay. Exodus 34, state in 34. Okay. And the Lord said unto Moses, that's 27, and the Lord said unto Moses, write thou these words, for after the tenor of these words, I have made a covenant with thee and with Israel. And he was there with the Lord 40 days and 40 nights, and he did neither eat bread, not drink water. And he wrote upon the tables the words of the covenant and the 10 commandments. Hallelujah. You know, God said in verse 1 that I will write these things. But we are seeing here that it was Moses that wrote those things. Those words, as God was saying it, Moses had to begin to write those things. Are you getting me? Because Yoruba ni continue on by Shefu Kimpe. That's exactly Sonny. That's what happened. So if you peradventure work for this, you will have common sense next time. Not to just do it like that. Are you getting me? So he has to do that without eating, without food, without water. He had to do that. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So you have to write those things. Without food, without water after journeying to the mountain. Are you getting me? Look at all the stress and wahala. But of course, you can see there's a significant difference between the first experience and the second one. Are you getting me? By the time we now go down, we now begin to see what now actually happened. Are you getting me? From that. Verse 29, and it came to pass when Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the two tablets of testimony in Moses' hand. When he came down from the mount, that Moses wished not that the skin of his face shone while he talked with him. And when Aaron and all the children of Israel saw Moses, behold, the skin of his face shone, and they were afraid to come nigh him. And Moses called unto them, and Aaron and all the rulers of the congregation returned unto him, and Moses talked with them. And afterward, all the children of Israel came nigh, and he gave them in commandment all that the Lord had spoken with him in the Mount Sinai. And till Moses had done speaking with them, he put a veil on his face. And when Moses went in before the Lord to speak with him, he took the veil off until he came out. And he came out and spake unto the children of Israel that which he was commanded. And the children of Israel saw the face of Moses, that the skin of Moses' face showed. And Moses put the veil upon his face again until he went in to speak what with him. Hallelujah. So we can see that there was a difference here. Are you getting me? Between the two experiences, are you getting me? The first time he went and collected the one that God wrote, and the one that he went, that he has to be hearing God and write those things, there was difference. Are you getting me? Something has happened to Moses. Are you getting me? So it is not just go there and collect instructions, are you getting me? Write those things, but something has happened to him. Are you getting me? And we saw it. People saw it on his body, on his face. Are you getting me? That his face was shining. Something was shining on the face of this guy. Are you getting me? It was shining. So he has seen something. He has encountered something while he was there. Praise the Lord. That same thing did not happen the first time he was there. Second time he was there, his face began to shine. It was different. Hallelujah. Now the right thing that he did something to him. Are you getting me? So it was not just writing. It was, as he was listening and putting those things down, something was happening to Moses. Are you getting me? Is Abby? The normal skin of a man doesn't shine. Are you getting me? It doesn't. But this one began to shine. Are you getting me? It began to shine. Something began to alter that was the structure of the skin of Moses. And that we saw that on the face. What happened? They saw it. Are you getting me? The only thing they saw there was that it was shining. Are you getting me? But we now know that the shining was not just shining. Are you getting me? The shining that was coming out, the brightness that was coming out of Moses was not just, it wasn't just anything shiny. Are you getting me? It was Paul that now defined what happened to him. Are you getting me? That now explained what happened to Moses on that month. Are you getting me? And the same mistake... The same mistake the children of Israel have been making, they made it here also with what? With Moses. Are you getting me? In fact, it was even Aaron that first of all did that. Your face is... No. We can't bring this kind of face. He immediately was too veiled to it. Are you getting me? Not knowing that, it was just shiny that they needed. It was not that it was just shiny. Are you getting me? Praise the Lord. Later he tried, okay, let me even, as it was, okay, the guy that gathered, the king of Israel gathered,
He was trying to, okay, let me put it off. And as he put it off, they also that is very hard. No. He answered that, why? Put it back again, and he began to talk. That simple thing that happened, it was later that Paul now began to explain what happened. The implication of what they did there. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. There's something the glory of God does to a man. And that was something he did to Moses on that month. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So no wonder later Paul was now saying that whenever they read Moses, it was Moses that constituted everything those guys were doing. Because he received the whole essence of that commandment, of that testament. He received it. So whatever they were now reading from that table, from every other commandment, whatever, they couldn't. They couldn't do it. It was like a makeshift. Are you getting me? It was like a makeshift, but they couldn't achieve what God wanted to do. It was face-to-face interaction God wanted. And Moses, what? Praise the Lord. Time is up. I think I will stop here. I'll continue next week.
Beloved, the Father of Light is said to enlighten the eyes of our understanding using his servant, whom he has called to equip and build the saint. Noah's excellency of speech by power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit. Enjoy the Spirit.